This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
I feel like we've been waiting forever, but it's finally time once again for the Decibel Geek Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's just been one of them weeks. We've been having so much fun lately that when it comes time to record the Decibel Geek, I think I'm a lot like a lot of our listeners, and I just can't freaking wait. In case you didn't know, I'm Aaron Camaro, and the other guy right across the way from me, the guy that's always here with me every single week, my good friend Chris Sinzak.
I'm here, and I'm giddy like a schoolgirl, just like you are.
I am, too. It's been an exciting couple of weeks, man.
Yes, it has. We were talking before we got on mic tonight about how, you know, those of you that are longtime listeners, we had Mark Slaughter on the show a few weeks ago. And
how cool was that? I'm still kind of blown away by it.
It was a four-year journey and a dream come true.
I just always just remember listening to the Slaughter and the Vinnie Vincent Invasion, yes, and being a kid and then coming back and getting to sit down at an O'Charlie's with them and, mm-hmm, you know, outside of Nashville, Tennessee. It's a trip, man. It trips me out.
But ever since then, we've been having a lot of response and a lot of extra listens to the newer episodes, even the ones without a special guest.
You know, it makes me kind of feel like Kiss taking Slaughter out on the road with me, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, we're the Decibel Geek Podcast. We're doing okay on our own. We're all right.
Yeah.
But then we bring Mark Slaughter in, and all of a sudden, we got all these fans coming to the show.
I know, and, you know, a few weeks before Mark Slaughter came on, we were really trying to be Bon Jovi, so it made a lot of sense.
What's Bon Jovi doing? That's what we need
exactly
to do.
Exactly. Who's their hairdresser? But no, we've had a lot of new listeners, and if you're one of the new people, welcome. We love having you on board. We've had bigger numbers than we've had in a long time, and a lot of emails of people saying they just discovered the show and they're binge listening to it. And the longer we go on, the more of a daunting task that's becoming, because we're close to 200 episodes now.
Right.
So, yeah, those of you that are going back and listening to the back archive, boy, my hat's off to you.
Right.
I sure wouldn't want to hear me that much.
There's a lot of cool stuff in there, though. There's a whole, besides Chris and myself, there's a whole lot of other really cool people here back in all the archives.
Absolutely.
You know, so if you haven't got a chance to take a stroll through that yet, you ought to do it.
Totally. There's a lot of goods to go to decibelgeek.com, and it's all there, categorized
and
everything.
We made it easy for you.
Very easy. So a couple things we wanted to do a new thing here, because, like, you know, a lot of shows will beg you for an iTunes review every week, and that's
much like us.
That's standard practice, and we all want iTunes reviews.
Of course.
But we thought, you know, it's great to ask for them, but why don't we acknowledge some of these that we're getting, because we get great ones.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for a little while, so today that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to choose an iTunes review, and we're going to read it on this show. So I almost said on the air, but
on the pre-recorded
on the
air
on the internets.
Yes.
So here's our iTunes review of the week, and this is fantastic, and I kind of feel funny reading the title of it, but the title is Better Than Eddie Trunk.
Better looking too.
Well, I don't know about that.
My wife thinks so.
But this is a review from Brad Cano, and he's from the United States of America, right here with us. You know, we got listeners all over the world, but
yes,
this is a fantastic review, and it goes a little something like this. Love the show, guys. I love the rock and roll, and pretty much dedicated my life to rock since a young kid. So I relate to you guys very much. I love that.
Me too.
I love that a lot. You know, that's why we're doing this. I subscribed to The Geek just over a month ago and has successfully listened to every single episode. So your voices have become very familiar.
Poor bastard.
I drive over an hour to and from work every day, so your podcast has been a blessing. That's what it's all about for the working man and woman out there.
Sorry.
I love it. Thank you for your dedication and hard work and keeping our kind of music alive. Yeah, this is our kind of music. You're damn right. And keep it up. Playing a band? Oh, he plays in a band, and he writes music and records, and it's as all as their own original music. He'd like to send us some. He'd like to send it soon, if possible. The sooner, the better.
Yeah, and Brad, we're a little late getting back to you on this, but yes, please send it on. Send it to feedback@decibelgeek.com.
Nice. Yes, absolutely. Anybody that's got music that's rock and roll and is like what we're doing here,
yes,
you know, send it to
us. New featured artist coming soon.
Yeah, we're doing something cool with that very soon, and Brad Cano is going to be a part of that. Anyways, keep up the hard work, and I'm definitely a big fan of the show. Later, guys. BK. So, man,
thanks,
that
Brad.
Is so cool, man. I love it.
Yeah, so, you know, you guys, especially a well-thought-out review like that, and typing that much stuff up, but you know, I thought it deserved a mention, and we're going to start doing this more regularly because you know,
definitely.
You guys deserve to be recognized for your praise of how awesome we are.
We will totally let you put us over.
Yeah.
Hey, we do work hard around here, and we're right back to it this
That's
week.
Right.
But you know, we can't move on just yet because we got to get to our favorite people in the whole freaking world. That's right. I'm talking about our geeks of the week.
That's right, geeks of the week. These are the people that share on Facebook and retweet on Twitter the previous week's episode. So if you want to hear your name read off next week, share the link or retweet the link this week.
I've seen this list. You better take a couple deep breaths.
Yeah, I got a lot more names to read off this week, and this is just from an organic show with no special guests. So love you guys.
Yeah, so cool.
Geeks of the week this week are Miguel Nunez, Andrew Kiss of the Strange Ways podcast, Brent Walter, Robin Bennett, Cal Hens, Wayne Cross, Chris Karam, Aaron Baker, Ian Wiley of Rock and Metal Combat Podcast, Justin Hayes, Colin Francis, Todd Cunningham, David Alpazar, Joe Lascon, Dan Chaput, Brad Kalmanson, Baco, Gino Ames, Joe Royland, Billy Hardaway, Derek Novak, Mike Stewart, Joe Polo of Podcast Rock City, Mark Alden Taylor, Matt Severson of Paperback Rocker, Cobras and Fire, Joseph C. M. Belly, Rob Webb, Dennis Gamez, Wayne Newbern, Sit and Spin with Joe, Brian Knapp, Brant Cattell, Kevin Barry Matea. Almost there.
Almost.
Chad Pollock, Kai Velmer, the Mooger Fooger, the Rockin' Donkey. Where else? What other show are you going to hear those names?
Yeah.
Music Max and Wax, Akram, I think I got that right, Hoops, Brian Flavel, DC Steve, TJ Cullen, 1171, Podcast of the Best, Colin Stealth, and Joel Hebensberger.
So cool, man. We love those guys so much. You know, and there's some names on that list that we hear every single week. You guys are our favorite, and we also love the new people coming on sharing it as well. That's pretty awesome. You know, we come off Mark Slaughter. We do our thing last week with some buried treasure, shining some light on some good bands. That
album
maybe not,
openers, too.
Yeah, album openers after that. Yeah, and today we're back with something else that's going to be a lot of fun because today things are getting super.
Yeah, we've been wanting to do this for a long time, actually. I think this has been in the plans for a long time.
It has?
Yeah.
It kind of fell on the back burner with some other stuff coming up, but we've gone back at or looked at our notes and said, what have we missed? Oh, yeah, we've meant to do a show about supergroups.
Yeah, and in rock and metal, there's no shortage.
No, man. There's a lot of great stuff out there, supergroups. Because you got to figure, all these amazing rock and rollers out there, and they're floating around in between bands, and there's different circumstances, and these things just kind of align themselves. And today, we're going to see some alignment of some kick-ass rock and roll.
Yeah, and I'll just, and I put this in the show notes, and the definition, according to Webster's, of supergroup is noun. An exceptionally successful rock group, in particular one formed by musicians already famous from playing in other groups.
Yes.
We're going to play a little bit fast and loose with this. Not all these bands were really "quote unquote" successful. So, but who gives a shit how many records they sell? If it's good, it's good.
It's good. It's good.
So we've got we got 10 good songs here from 10 interesting bands, and I'm going first, right?
Yeah, you go ahead and go first.
Okay, so for mine,
just because I want to hear this because it's awesome.
Right. Okay. I thought I had everything ready, and I didn't. Okay, my first pick goes back to 1971.
Good thing you know the editor.
I do. He's an asshole. But my first supergroup is a band called Humble Pie. And this is a band that goes way back. If you're a Kiss fan and you love Paul Stanley, you have Steve Marriott and Humble Pie to thank for that.
Yeah, you do. Totally.
Paul Stanley stole a lot of his stage act from Steve Marriott.
Well, he was definitely influenced by it, no doubt about it.
This guy, this was the most charismatic frontman of that era, in my opinion. They released Rockin' the Fillmore in 1971. The band had Steve Marriott, who was previously in the Small Faces, Peter Frampton, who was in the Herd and, of course, went on to plenty of other stuff.
Yeah, we all had Frampton Comes Alive laying around the house when we were kids, haven't we?
Yeah. Also, the band also had Greg Gridley from Spooky Tooth, Clem Clemson from Coliseum, and Jerry Shirley from Apostolic Intervention. That's a mouthful.
I've heard of Spooky Tooth.
But, you know, these bands were well-known at the time.
At their time, yeah. I
so
got
this
you.
This is well before Aaron and I's time, even. There's
Humble Pie is not beyond anybody's time.
Well, no,
because it's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, some of these previous bands.
Yesterday,
like,
today, and tomorrow, I've this stuff on.
Yeah,
it's good.
I don't have Apostolic Intervention in my.
It's not in your iPod.
Not my iPod. Maybe I should check it out. I never know.
Hey, you never know.
But Rockin' the Fillmore is an iconic live album, and there's a story that during the mixing of the album, the band presented what they thought to be the finished product to their manager D. Anthony. And he listened to it, and he made one comment. He said, great, but where's the audience? It turned out that Steve Marriott and drummer Jerry Shirley were stoned and had forgotten to include the sound of the audience into the mix.
Oh, so it's one of those so kind of live albums,
back
huh?
to the mixing desk. And they had to add the audience. So
that's funny.
Not only an influence on Paul Stanley as a front man, but yeah, also right. on live albums.
How to make a live album
in the studio.
The Humble Pie story.
Yeah, but Rockin' the Fillmore is a classic album. And shortly before the release of this album, Peter Frampton left, drew to growing friction between him and Steve Marriott, and went on to a huge success.
Yeah.
But man, he was great when these guys were together, and this is Humble Pie with 4 Day Creep.
Man, that is absolutely one of my favorite Humble Pie songs.
And has aged well. I mean, it's timeless type stuff.
And how many kick-ass bands have covered that one over the years?
I don't know.
There's been a lot.
Yeah, but
man.
Yeah, Humble Pie, just, and that's a band that I didn't get on board with until much later, probably about 10 years ago.
Really?
And, yeah, when I would read a lot more in-depth Kiss interviews. Kiss has turned me on to so many other bands.
Yeah, sure,
and
totally.
And Paul Stanley would go on and on about how, like, if you wanted to see rock perfection in the early 70s, Steve Marriott was it.
Right, because I think, Humble Pie kind of gets a bad rap because people think Peter Frampton.
Yeah.
And they think about this kind of stuff Peter Frampton did, and maybe they don't like that, so they assume that, Humble Pie is going to be about that same vein.
Yeah.
But Humble Pie is a lot more like Kiss
sure.
than they are like Peter Frampton's solo stuff.
Marriott just could be for ferocious in his vocals. Like the vocals on, you know, and I could have easily played I Don't Need No Doctor because it's such a well-known song.
Sure, it's
but
a
I wanted
great
to play
song.
Something a little off the beaten path. But man, his vocals on that song are just ferocious. And then, you know, if tying it to Kiss today, I'm honestly a fan of the Monster album that came out a few years ago.
I am too, but a lot of them songs on there do remind me of Humble Pie Tunes.
Yeah, the beginning of Eat Your Heart Out is a total take on 30 Days in the Hole.
Yeah, totally.
And also the song Shout Mercy has a very I Don't Need No Doctor feel to it. You could totally hear the Steve Marriott influence on that song.
But again, you know, that was Kiss going back to their roots, you know. And,
yeah.
And if that's what you're going to do, those guys are going to look at what influenced us. It was Humble Pie.
And
there you go.
I view that album as a love letter to their influence. Because I think that's what it is.
Totally.
So that's my first pick. What do you got next?
Nice. All right, I got one. This is a band that started, you know, it just started as a fun jam band at the Viper Room in Los Angeles. They released their self-titled debut in 1996. It's their one and only release. But if you're talking about super groups, man, I got to include the Neurotic Outsiders. You get a member of you get technically two members of Guns N' Roses, a member of the Sex Pistols, and a member of Duran Duran.
Yeah.
Here we go again. That band just...
One of these
sorry.
Things is not like the other.
But it all comes together pretty good. I'm talking about Duff McKagan and Steve Jones. Those guys are playing guitar. John Taylor from Duran Duran's on bass. Matt Sorum's on drums. And everybody's singing. Man, it's a great album. If you get a chance, check it out. Hop on Amazon through the Decibel Geek link and get yourself a piece of the Neurotic Outsiders from 1996. Here's a tune. It's a good one. Oh, yeah, it's Good News. You know, it's kind of a shame that that band only, you know, had that one album.
I don't know. I'm starting to think we got to do a heavier side of Duran Duran.
The heavier side? I don't think there is a heavier side of Duran Duran.
There's not. I was totally being sarcastic.
Yeah, that's the Andy Taylor solo album.
That's as close as you just play 10 songs from that. Neurotic Outsiders is cool, though.
That's pretty cool.
I remember when it came out.
You don't think about like John Taylor being able to, you know, be in a rock band
like that.
But he's a fantastic bass player, good singer. You know, Steve Jones sings some stuff on there. Mm-hmm. And everybody that's ever listened to, if you haven't gone back in the archives, you ain't. Anybody that's been with us since the beginning knows I love me some Duff McKagan.
No.
Yeah, dude. That dude's awesome. Remember way back when we did our best bass players show?
Yeah.
Like way, way, way back.
The top five bass players that became top six because I lost count. I picked too many bass players.
That's right.
Yeah.
We've come so far.
It was a long time ago, wasn't it? Okay, so that's a good way to start your list.
I like it.
Okay, so my next one, and this is one of those things where you've brought up Duff McKagan numerous times. Here's a band I've played a few times on the show, and I've brought them up a number of times. I couldn't do a supergroup episode without bringing up Blue Murder.
Oh, they're awesome.
This is one of my favorite bands, and this is one of my favorite albums, especially
John Sykes, man. Yeah,
John Sykes. You know, if you don't know. Was in Tigers of Pantang, Thin Lizzy, Whitesnake.
Yeah.
An incredible guitar player, an incredible songwriter.
Amazing.
Also, you know, this is an interesting story with them. You know, and then the known members were Tony Franklin, who was in The Firm and also played with Jimmy Page. And then Carmine Appice, however you want to pronounce it. Great drummer.
However he tells you to pronounce it, you'll pronounce it.
Known for Vanilla Fudge, Cactus, Ozzy, King Cobra.
And just kicking ass and killing drum heads.
Especially King Cobra, because of the Iron Eagle soundtrack.
Of course.
We have the vinyl album hanging over shoulder here.
It's right there.
Thank you, Metal Mike. The interesting story about this band, though, is that wasn't really that lineup initially. In the early stages of the band, drummer Cozy Powell, with whom Sykes had played with Whitesnake, was attached to the project.
Really?
And Ray Gillen was also, had previously sung for Black Sabbath and later for Badlands. He was also in an early version of this band. And reportedly the band had recorded some demos with Ray Gillen.
Really? That'd be interesting.
Ray Gillen sang for everybody in the mid to late 80s. I'm starting to be convinced.
But John Sykes ends up singing it all himself, right?
Yeah, because he compares, upon comparing the original demos with Sykes singing to the demos with Gillen singing, A&R executive John Kalodner, who a lot of rock fans know who he is, resurrected a lot of careers. He encouraged John Sykes to just go ahead and do the vocals himself because he liked him better.
I'm glad he did.
I am too.
He's right.
I love Ray Gillen, but John Sykes has a certain vocal stamp that he puts on this album.
You sound too much like that version of Black Sabbath that Chris Sinzak hates.
I don't hate that version. No, I hate the Born Again version.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the Born Again version, isn't it?
No, with Ray Gillen? No, he was the Eternal Idol version.
Oh, I'm thinking of Ian Gillen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't hate the Tony Martin. You're thinking of Ian Gillen.
But who is this?
Ray Gillen.
Oh, Ray Gillen. He was the guy that was in Badlands.
Right.
Okay, all right.
But also sang for Sabbath during Eternal Idol.
Okay, all right.
See, all these people work together.
Yeah, the Gillen. It's all confusing to me. I can't figure it out anymore.
Pick your Gillen. So, Blue Murder comes out in 1989, self-titled album. And man, I mean, to pick one song off of this is damn near impossible. But I picked this one. It's got a funny name. It's a great song. This is Blue Murder with Jelly Roll.
Girl, to bring it on home to me. I just need a love bell each and every day.
Weird name, great song.
Love it, man. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I had to pick Blue Murder. That was like the first one that came into my mind when we decided to do this.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I had to pick them.
I always remember I had their second album, the one with the kid holding the cat up in the air, and for some reason over the years I lost it, and I wanted to replace it, and now I go on Amazon.com through the Decibel Geek link, of course, and it's freaking expensive.
Yeah, it's hard to, it's not, not. I think it's been out of print for a long
time. I had it when it was new, and I lost it somewhere. It was a good album.
It's like the hard rock equivalent to the Mickey Mantle rookie card.
I don't know about that.
No, maybe not that good.
All right, all right. So I'm up next. I got one here. It's kind of funny, you know. It's basically, I don't know if this, here we're playing fast and loose again. Supergroup. Yeah, I'd say so, because you got the lead vocalist from Ugly Kid Joe, Whitfield Crane, and Whitfield Crane, you know all about him.
Ugly Kid Joe?
That's right.
Not familiar with
On this
name.
Show?
Yeah.
Talking about Ugly Kid Joe, who knew? And then you've got the guitarist, the bass player from Godsmack, and then you got Lee Richards on guitar. Have you heard any of that new stuff, the Whitfield Crane, Lee Richards stuff?
I heard one song they did a video for, and
that's,
I liked
it.
That's
pretty cool. I liked it, too. And, of course, Shannon Larkin on drums from Ugly Kid Joe, Godsmack, and Amen. This was, the story with this is that the guys from Godsmack had put together all these songs and presented them to the mighty Sully Erna.
Ugh.
And Sully Erna said, I grow weary of this. I grow weary of this. I need a break. I'm tired out.
5 foot two of them.
I'm past all this. I don't want this.
None of these lyrics say get away or go away.
Right. So then the band's like, you know, what are we going to do? We got all these songs that don't say get away, go away, stay away.
Stay away. Everything's away.
Yeah. So what are we going to do? So they get Whitfield Crane, formerly from Ugly Kid Joe, and they put out one album.
Yep.
And it's just all these songs that could have been awesome Godsmack songs if Godsmack were awesome.
Yep.
So here you go. My favorite Godsmack album. It's Another Animal from 2007. And this is a tune called Amends.
Amends.
You like that?
I like it better than Godsmack.
I do too, man. You know, that's just, you know, the power of Ugly Kid Joe or something. I don't know.
I stirred up a few folks on Facebook this week talking about Godsmack.
Yeah, I saw that. That's why I was kind of egging that on.
Learn to take a joke, people. For those that didn't, that aren't friends with me on Facebook and didn't see, they were playing Nashville, and I had a few friends that were all excited to go see them with lots of exclamation points and everything. So I decided to be a smart ass, and I put, Godsmack's playing Nashville tonight. I can't wait to miss it.
Right.
And it pissed off a few people.
I don't hate Godsmack. I don't hate Godsmack. I think they've got some great tunes. You know, a lot of their stuff, you know, it's funny joke, you know, with the, it all does sound, kind of sound similar. But, you know, this album, this Another Animal album, you know, if you give it a chance, check it out. It's pretty damn cool.
It takes on a different vibe with someone else singing it.
Right.
Sully is so identifiable with Godsmack. You know, you're not, if you hear him singing, you're going to think it's Godsmack.
He's an angry dude.
Yeah, he is. But I don't despise Godsmack. I mostly posted it for laughs.
Yeah.
I just wish more people would laugh instead of getting offended by it.
Don't mess with the Godsmack.
Sully's going to come after me.
You ain't no Nikki Sixx. He ain't coming after you.
Oh, boy.
He ain't writing no songs about you or nothing.
I would be honored. Okay.
Go away, Decibel Geek.
Yeah, just mention Decibel Geek. That's all I care about. Okay, so one more, and then we got to go to break, and then we're going to talk about something cool.
Okay.
All right, this is, and here's another one, one of the first ones that came to mind. And I was like, well, do I really play it? Because was this really technically a super group that was a real band?
Well, it was totally a super group.
It was a super group, especially because there was a TV show about them.
Yes.
But technically, the song I'm going to play is all they ever did together.
I mean, the show was called Supergroup,
right?
Wasn't it?
Yeah. VH1 put out a show, a reality show, I'm doing air quotes, called Supergroup.
Right.
And
it was awesome. I was so excited when I heard about it.
And the band included Sebastian Bach on vocals.
Yes.
Ted Nugent on guitar.
Yes.
Jason Bonham on drums.
Oh, yeah.
Evan Seinfeld on bass from Biohazard.
Okay.
And Scott Ian on other guitar.
Awesome.
It's a great combination.
How can that go wrong?
Oh, God.
Well, let's talk to the guys from Rockstar Supernova. They'll tell you.
God. Yeah, but this band didn't have Lucas, so it was doing better than that.
So that's better. Yeah, it's always better.
But it had Sebastian drinking a lot of wine, which is not a good combination.
Wrestling with people.
And I will say this, as train wrecky as it was a ball to watch.
It was fun.
Yeah, and especially
I wanted an album. I just wanted an album. That's all I wanted from that.
My favorite part of the show, which is a lot of people's favorite part of the show, is they're struggling to find a band name, and they're trying so hard to come up with a band name. And like some of the ones that were rejected, one was Fist, which Sebastian thought of.
I thought that was great.
He's like, five things coming together as one.
I like that. I mean, it made sense
It's good in theory.
But not as good
as... And then Jason Bonham gets back, and he sees the name, and he's like, well, I'm certainly not going to be in a band called Fist. He's like, that gives them a total wrong connotation. And which I thought that was funny. And then like at one point, Doc McGee, who was the acting manager of this show,
right,
says, why don't you call it No? Because that's all you guys ever say to anybody, is No.
No.
Which I thought was funny.
That is funny.
And then Sebastian came up with the greatest band name of all time. He's riding in the car, and it hits him one night, and he goes, Savage Animal. That's going to be the band name.
It just rolls off the tongue.
It almost sounds like one word, Savage Animal.
This band will always be Savage Animal to me.
Yeah, I always think of Savage Animal.
We could have got a Savage Animal album.
Somebody really should create a band and call it Savage Animal just for that reason.
It would have to have Sebastian Bach on lead vocals.
But I remember everyone's reaction. I was like, I'm not going to fucking create a band called Savage Animal. That's stupid.
So was it Ted that finally came up with the name?
No, it was actually kind of Scott and Sebastian. Because... they were sitting around having a meeting at the breakfast table trying to figure out a name because they were just up to their ears with it. And I think Scott Ian says something like, this is a goddamn democracy. Why don't we whatever. Yeah. And Sebastian, and like a little light bulb went off over Sebastian. He goes, oh, what do we call it? Damocracy.
Sebastian Bach is a freaking genius.
Nobody wants to be.
But, I think he is.
Depends on what we're talking about.
Those are all great names.
So that became the name of the band. And they did a live show at, I think it was a House of Blues in Vegas. And they played a lot of cool covers. My favorite being Sin City by AC/DC. That was a cool cover. Especially hearing Ted Nugent play the lead to Sin City.
Ted Nugent wails. I don't care what band he's
in. I don't give
a
damn of what his political beliefs are. He's a great guitarist. But yeah, it was a fun show to watch. And I like you, had hopes that, you know, maybe they'll actually come through and record something.
An album.
Because it would have been interesting
to hear. What it was all about for me. It was like, how can this band not put on an album?
Right.
There's so many great parts here. You know, even the dude from Biohazard. Why not?
He had good ideas.
Yeah.
And
you know?
He was a part of the song I'm about to play here before we go into break. And this is all we got, was this one tune original, as far as original material. But it's a pretty good tune. And yes, it is demo quality, so forgive that. We're going to go into break with Damocracy from 2008 with Take It Back.
Sebastian Bach.
And like, if you worked at Pizza Hut and you got fired, would you be knocking on the door of Pizza Hut, please let me back in?
No,
you'd be
no.
Like, fuck Pizza Hut.
Want to be a member of the Decibel Geek Army?
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
Join us on our fan page at facebook.com/decibelgeek.
Hi, this is Lemmy's liver. Man, am I exhausted. You're listening to the Decibel Geek Podcast.
So, of course, you know, we're always so very, very grateful to our sponsor. You know, our main sponsor, our only sponsor, Amazon.com. And what do you get at Amazon.com? Any damn thing you can imagine is on the Amazon.com. But if you're going to do some shopping, any online shopping, and you go through Amazon, you want to go through DecibelGeek.com. You go to DecibelGeek.com. Right there at the top of the page, you're going to see
the banner.
The banner. It's right there. You can't miss it. Open your eyes. There it is. click on that, and when it's going to take you to Amazon, and whatever you buy, it's going to cost the same as what you see. But Amazon is so cool to us. They love the Decibel Geek podcast so much, they're going to kick a little bit back to the show. Because, you know, we know you're at work or you're on your way to work or whatever you're doing. You know, we're working here, too. We take time out of our busy schedules. We're working men ourselves. You know, we always make sure you've got the Decibel Geek podcast, and we always make sure you've got it for free. Because that's what rock and roll is all about. It's not like paying for it. You got to earn it. You don't got to earn it. It's there for everybody. And that's what it's all about. So if you're going to do any online shopping, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. And, you know, with Amazon, you know, and I teased this last week. We thought we acknowledged the iTunes review. Why don't we acknowledge some of the stuff you guys are buying through our Amazon link?
Yeah. I've been itching to find this out.
So, you know, I don't get a list of who buys what. Got a static in my mic. Okay, I don't get a list of who buys what, but I do get a list of what's bought.
Right.
So I don't know who bought what. I don't know who bought the Vanessa Cruz number 117 episode of The Blacklist.
We can't call you out.
I hope you enjoyed it. James Spader is pretty cool.
Appreciate it either way.
So other things that were bought, somebody bought the Foo Fighters Sonic Highways Blu-ray.
That's cool.
I still haven't seen any of the Sonic Highways. Have you seen them yet?
No, I haven't either. I don't have HBO.
Yeah, I don't either. And I was like, I know Paul Stanley's on, I think, the L.A. one. Or
really?
The New York one. I don't
want
to. He's on one of those.
Well, man, I got to check that out. See, too bad we don't know who bought it. We could borrow it from them.
Yeah, we should. Somebody bought Kiss and Makeup, Gene Simmons' book on Kindle eBook.
Right on. It's a good book.
Someone bought a Cuisinart Thermal 12-Cup Programmable Coffee Maker. Black.
Nice.
Tommy Thayer.
Black. Like metal.
I didn't say that. Also,
some coffee.
Some MP3 downloads. Black Torah. This band called Black Torah. A couple of albums were bought by them. One self-titled, one called Raise Your Fists. And I saw this link, and I'm like, I've never heard of this band. And then I started checking them out. I'm like, they're really good.
Black Torah?
Black Torah.
Nice. I'll check that out, too.
They're like the African-American version of Torah Torah, I guess. I don't know. But no, they're really good. They've got an old-school vibe. And our awesome writer, Rich Dillon, called me out. And like, I was like, how did this band fall under our radar? He's like, they haven't. I've written about them on my M3 preview. And I'm like,
Of course he has.
I'm like, I suck.
Of course he has.
So sorry, Rich. I apologize.
There's nothing in rock and roll going on out there in the world right now that's new that you cannot find about at decibelgeek.com because the Meister and everybody else is on the case.
Nothing,
you should know that.
Nothing gets by the Meister.
Nothing.
And also a band called Sleep with a song called Dope Smoker.
Huh.
So I've never heard of that. We'll have
Sounds
to check
interesting.
Them out.
Sounds like something I might like.
Yeah. No. Check out the 420 episode. A 32 gig slim MP3 MP4 player was bought.
Nice. Get on iTunes with that, right?
Yeah. Some other music that was bought. This is just some of the stuff. A Farewell to Kings by Rush was purchased.
Oh, right on. That's great.
The Motley Crue self-titled John Corabi album.
Very cool.
Hopefully we influenced that decision.
We're doing our part.
The new Scorpions album, Return to Forever.
That's a great one. I really dig that. I know I haven't had a chance to say it, but I've listened to it. I love it.
Also, Samantha 7 was purchased.
Oh, nice. Right on. We were just talking about that. See, we're doing our part.
Podcasting sells music, folks.
There you go.
Also, the Van Halen Tokyo Dome concert. Moving on.
It ain't that bad.
It's okay. Dave. Oh, Dave.
I love Dave. I don't care what he does. I love Dave.
A CD called Why We Fight by a band called Gatsby's American Dream. I haven't checked them out yet.
Huh. If it's bought through the Decibel Geek link, it's got to be good. We got to check these out.
And then, Toys and Games, the Nerf Mega Thunder Bow Blaster was bought.
Holy shit.
This thing looks intimidating.
Yeah, it looks like something like Daryl from The Walking Dead would be carrying around. That thing's badass. I want one of those.
I bet Billy Hardaway bought that. I don't know.
He's preparing for the apocalypse.
Maybe. But yeah, those are a few of the things. So go on Amazon and buy something through our link. And maybe we'll read it off on the show.
That's some cool stuff.
Yeah, that was just for this quarter. So, yeah, there's more there, but that's a few of the things. So we got to get back to music. We've shilled enough for the man.
Yeah, you're right. So it's time to get back to the supergroups. And, man, I've got a good one to bring us right back into it. This was a one we've got. You know, this is the power of Decibel Geek. I would have probably maybe never known about this, but they sent it to us. It was so good. This one came out in 2010, and I'm talking about a band called Hard Road. You want to talk supergroups? I want to talk Canadian supergroups. Because in this band, you got Morgan Evans on drums, and he played for a super underrated band called Juliet. And he's also known for being in a band called Saints and Sinners and a bunch of other stuff. You got Rick Lazaroff on bass. He's known for playing with the Metal Queen, Lee Aaron.
Nice.
I like that. Bitch, all that good stuff. I like her. Earl Johnson plays lead guitar. He's from Moxie.
Moxie's good.
Canadian awesomeness. And on lead vocals, you got Russ Graham. You ever heard of Russ Graham?
Yes. He was Aaron and I's first interview on the show.
So cool, man. Love that dude. Yeah, you know we're talking about Russ Dwarf. Yeah. On lead vocals, of course, from the Killer Dwarfs. You know, this was an album that, you know, it's 2010 when it came out. It's a Canadian supergroup. It's classic rock, man. It's so good in its purest form. If you're into bands like Great White or maybe Tesla or Rush or the Killer Dwarfs even, you know, you're going to dig this. But it's not Killer Dwarfs. It's something totally different. But I think this is an album, and we encourage you to go to Amazon and look up these bands. But this is one. This is Aaron Camaro approved and tested. You're going to love it. So here's a little taste for you, and then go get the rest of the album. It's Hard Road from their 2010 release, Miles, and a song called Tempted.
Russ Graham.
That freaking rocks, man.
It's so strange calling him Russ Graham.
It is weird, isn't it?
It'll always be Russ Dwarf to us.
Totally.
Yeah, I like the Hard Road stuff. I remember when he sent it to us, and was very, very impressed by it.
Really impressed by it. I love it. I think that's just probably the second time we've played that band on the show.
Yeah, and, you know, and also Moxie, you know, and I remember, you know, Mitch had told us about them, and I was like, I didn't really know anything about Moxie, and then I started reading up on it. Like, they're very well known in Canada.
Yeah.
Like, they're a legendary band.
We can always count on the Meister and the Gator to up us on Canadian rock. You know, they let us know. They smarten us up.
And there's a lot of you that listen in Canada, so, you know, tip of the hat to you guys with that, a Canadian super
group. Heck yeah, we love you.
So I'm next.
Yeah, I've been wondering about this ever since I saw our list put together. I don't even know what's going on here with this.
This is the strangest thing I've probably ever picked on the show.
Okay.
But it's really cool.
All right.
So,
I hope so. I mean, by looking at the name of what you've got laid out in front of me, this does not seem like it will fit on the Decibel Geek podcast or be cool.
Oh, it's rocking.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
This is a band called Anti-Metal USA.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't sound cool at all.
Why doesn't it sound cool?
Anti-Metal USA?
Well, and it kind of is what you think it is. It's they're a Japanese-based American heavy metal band. I know that's a strange thing to say.
That's strange.
They were formed as a tribute to... God, these names. As a tribute to Aizo Sakamoto's band, Anti-Metal. So it's a Japanese band.
Okay, all right.
The album consists of a series of English-language covers of theme songs of popular anime shows. So Japanese anime is a big deal.
Right,
like,
sure.
Huge. Totally. Makes millions of dollars every year.
Right, yeah. No, that stuff's pretty cool, some of it, I've seen.
I know you're thinking, how is this a supergroup? How, you know, who the hell is going to play in this band?
Right, this is all insane to me.
So here's who's in this band. Mike Vissera is the singer. Mike Vissera, you may not know the name itself, lives here in Nashville, is known for being an Obsession, Loudness, Yngwie Malmsteen. Also, some lesser-known bands called Dr. Sen, Killing Machine, Joe Stump's Reign of Terror.
Hmm.
But was with Yngwie for a while.
Yeah, Yngwie's super
and
enough
Obsession
for me.
Has done pretty well, too. Chris Impellitteri is in this band from Impellitteri.
Okay.
Rudy Sarzo is in this band.
Everybody knows Rudy Sarzo.
From Ozzy, Quiet Riot,
yeah,
Whitesnake,
Dio. Just having Rudy in your band makes you a super group.
Scott Travis is the drummer.
Oh, nice.
From Razor X, Saints and Sinners, Judas Priest, Fight.
Hell yeah.
Great drummer. So you've got some serious heavy hitters in this band.
That's a super group.
The thing is, these guys play metal covers of Japanese anime theme songs, and they wear makeup like Kiss, like kabuki makeup.
All right.
They have a cool look, and
now,
I'm sorry.
All of a sudden, now my whole perspective has changed on this. Now I want to hear this.
But here's the title of what I'm going to play, and this is why I think it through Aaron. This is the Anti-Metal USA covering Dragon Ball Z, Cha-La Head Cha-La, and We Got a Power.
See, that messed me up.
Here it is.
Body.
Okay, what's the verdict?
Wow. I love it and I hate it at the same time. Yes. Love it and hate it.
Not for everybody.
The guitar playing's awesome. The drumming is killer. It's weird, but it's awesome.
Well, I mean, you can tell it's a Japanese anime theme song.
Yeah, totally, I guess.
But it fucking thrashes.
It does thrash. It's almost got like that European power metal
thing
to it.
Yeah, I think that's
almost
what I like the most about it.
The guitar player is just freaking stellar, and the drums, too. I love it.
But yeah, like it was, I meant...
But I also hate it.
Well, we'll have to differ on that. But yeah, you're not going to hear that on anybody else's supergroup show, I don't think.
Probably not.
But yeah, it was
interesting.
That's
pretty cool, though.
I saw Jeff Tate's Queensryche about a year ago with Billy Hardaway. And
Vestreich
or Mr. Queensryche or however you want to put it. And while we were in line waiting to get in, this guy with long black hair is in front of us. And then, of course, Billy, who knows everything about everybody, is like, holy shit, that's Mike Vissera. And I'm going...
From Animetal USA.
Yeah, and I'm like... Well, and of course, I'm like, who's Mike Vissera? And he's like, he's in Animetal. And he was Yngwie Singer and Obsession and all these bands. And I'm like, oh. And he's like, you didn't know he was with Yngwie? And I'm like, Billy, I know a lot about certain bands, but there's things I don't know shit about.
Right. I mean,
Unlike Billy Hardaway.
I'm not Billy Hardaway. You're Billy Hardaway.
Who knows
Hardaway.
Everything about everybody.
It's your job.
And then he introduced me to Michael and his lovely wife, and they were both really nice, and we actually sat at a table with them for a while.
Billy really does get mentioned on every episode.
He does.
That guy should start his own show.
But, then it made sense later that Mike was visiting that show because Rudy Sarzo was playing with Queensryche.
Totally.
So he was visiting his Animetal bandmate.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's kind of another reason I played it. I
love
to tell
Rudy Sarzo.
Yeah, oh, and super nice guy. I got to meet him after the show and couldn't be any more humble.
Yeah,
hopefully we'll get him on the show soon.
I would love to have Rudy on the show.
Quite a history.
Everybody would love it if we could get Rudy on the Decibel Geek podcast.
I need to get in touch with Rudy and we'll make that happen.
Rudy. All right, so I guess I'm up next. I got one for you. This is pretty cool. This is a super group for sure. You got Josh Homme from the Queens of the Stone Age, and of course, Caius on guitar and lead vocals. Dave Grohl.
Who's that?
We've talked about that guy just a little bit earlier.
He's never in the media, ever.
Never.
He never makes speeches for anybody.
If you haven't heard of Dave Grohl, he's a drummer, and he sings, and he's been in Foo Fighters and a little band called Nirvana. And then to round off, if that ain't super enough, if those two guys aren't super enough for you,
bassist, right?
You got to get a bass player, you know? I mean, those guys are pretty super on their own, but if you really want to make a super group, you got to get somebody on bass that knows what the hell they're doing. You know, somebody that can play bass, do a little singing, play some keyboards, maybe some clavinet, throw in some mandolin, maybe some piano, maybe some octagon.
Gene Simmons.
I don't even know what the hell an octagon is, but this guy knows how to play it, and I'm talking about John Paul Jones.
That
John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin. And these three superpowers combine themselves to become them Crooked Vultures. And in 2009, they released their self-titled debut, their one and only. But man, this album's good, good from beginning to finish. And here's a little taste for you from that album. This one's called No One Loves Me, and Neither Do I. Yeah.
Just a blink. She called me.
Supa.
That's a definite super group.
Supa. That album's so good. So yeah. Good.
And John Paul Jones, man. The true underrated star of Zeppelin.
What the hell is an Optigan?
I don't know.
I have no idea either.
Sounds like a geometric shape.
He knows what it is and knows how to play it. And probably better than anybody else ever.
I've mentioned this before, but I mean, all of Led Zeppelin's catalog, you'll get to hear the genius of John Paul Jones. But if you want my prime example of it, listen to the bass line and Ramble On.
Oh, man. Fantastic.
The bass line makes that entire song.
Because everybody in Zeppelin, you know, they always talk about, you know, Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. And those John guys Bonham. And those guys are awesome. And John Bonham's probably one of the greatest drummers ever.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. John Paul Jones kind of gets lost in the mix
incredible
of that. But
musician.
He really is the
He's the
heart.
Glue.
Yeah. He's the heart and soul of Led Zeppelin.
But yeah. Pay
if
attention
you,
to the bass line.
If you deny that, you're wrong.
Oh,
you're wrong.
I don't care how many blues musicians Zeppelin ripped off. John Paul Jones is amazing.
Totally.
So, okay, so that's... We got Dave Grohl in. We're being, like, super hip now.
We're hip and on the scene.
We went from Japanese anime to Dave Grohl.
Hey, because the people are buying, you know, the stuff on Amazon.
Yeah.
So we got to stay current.
So I guess we're to my last pick of the show. This is a super group that really never even played together live.
Really? Never? Not even once?
Not the full... I don't think so. I'm pretty sure they didn't. They didn't actually do...
Yeah. This was like a contrived kind of like a Monkees kind of
thing,
wasn't it?
Because when they toured, a couple of members weren't able to participate.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I don't have all the notes in front of me. Damn it. I'll wing it.
Okay.
But Contraband was a band that was put together in 1991, and they did one album together. It was released May 6, 1991. And this man had quite a few heavy hitters.
Yeah, totally.
The least known member was the singer, Richard Black. But those of you that are real decibel geeks know he was the singer for Shark Island.
That's right.
And there would not be an Axl Rose if there was not a Shark Island.
Shark Island is way underrated.
Very underrated band.
They should have got their shine back in the day when that kind of music was big. I don't understand how that band flew under
either.
The radar.
They had a ballad that should have been a top 10 hit. Called Bad for Each Other. Perfect.
And they did a cover of a Fleetwood Mac song, The Chain, that is off
excellent.
The chain.
But yeah, their original stuff was great too. And then they, you know, that was this was one of those bands that should have been huge.
This was his chance.
Yeah. A certain German guitar player was in this band. You want to give the name?
I believe it's pronounced Schenker.
Yes.
Michael
Schenker.
So
save your fucking emails.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
So I don't have to.
Yeah. Also, Tracy Guns was the guitar player.
I still get messages from people. And I was like, damn, what are you on, episode 52? Yeah. I've learned, all right? I've come a long way.
Yeah, he has. He's got it right now, guys. Give him a break. On bass was Cher Peterson from Vixen.
I'm still strong on the Mustaine, though.
We have to get Dave on to clear that up, that confusion.
Totally.
Well, actually, he called in a couple of weeks ago.
That's
right.
He did clear it up.
Cleared it completely up. and then on drums is Bobby Blotzer, who's bringing you the Rat Experience.
The Rat Experience.
Yes. But yeah,
Bobby Blotzer and friend.
Contraband. I mean, it's a pretty good lineup. 1991. Those are all pretty well known names.
But wasn't Tracy Guns involved in that too?
Yeah, I mentioned him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Over your head.
We really sidetracked there for a second.
Yeah, we did.
But that's awesome. I mean, how can you go wrong? You got Tracy Guns and Michael Schenker in the same band. How can you
a
go wrong?
A lot of guitar talent.
And the dude from Shark Island.
And Shark Island.
And Cher from Vixen. It's awesome.
Bobby Blotzer. Yeah.
Bobby Blotzer even, you know.
So did
Bobby Blotzer bring the band down? I mean, all this and Bobby Blotzer.
From what I gathered, I saw an interview with Richard Black after this happened, and he called it a complete debacle. And he said it was basically, I think it's just like kind of a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Like, let's get all these guys from well-known bands together, and all of their audiences will buy this album. Well, it doesn't work that way.
You would think so.
They had a quote unquote hit with a cover of All the Way from Memphis.
Yeah,
of Mott the Hoople too.
Right, which was pretty cool.
Oh, it's a cool cut. The whole
and there was a video for it.
Yes,
I remember that.
This entire album is a good album. But Richard Black also went on to say, you know, they organized a tour, and I think the tour was going to be Contraband. It's so complicated because I don't know. Contraband was supposed to headline or open, but anyway, Contraband was on the bill with. I think it was with Rat and with L.A. Guns or something like that.
Huh.
And it got to the point to where something like he felt like the contraband part of the show was being sabotaged.
Yeah.
Like the other guys were using contraband to just promote their personal bands. And was like, of course they're not going to put their heart into contraband because they want
to... basically just been assembled to do this.
Yeah,
you know?
They looked at it as a cash grab. He left Shark Island to do this. He put his heart and soul into it. The rest of them just looked at it as a project.
That sucks.
And it pissed him off. And he was just kind of like...
as soon as it's over, they're going back to L.A. Guns and Scorpions, UFO, you know, whatever, you know, and all that.
The way he viewed it was everyone else half-assed it and he gave his all.
Yeah.
And he got fucked.
Yeah, he did.
Because his career really went to shit after this.
Yeah, because if he would have turned this down and stuck it out with Shark
Island,
there's
blown
no
up.
Telling,
who knows?
You know?
You know?
They could have been the next Saigon Kick. You're telling me they had the ballads to back it up.
They had a great ballad called Bad for Each Other. It was really cool. But this is Contraband from that album from 1991, and this is what we have left from it. And this is a cliched title, but a fun song nonetheless. Loud Guitars, Fast Cars, and Wild, Wild Living.
Next.
Man, I like that, you know? And it's funny that you tell the story like that with, you know, if you're on tour and the band has Michael Schenker and Tracy Guns in it, of course they're headlining. Who else would headline?
I don't know.
Who else could headline above a band that's got those two egos in it, right?
This is one of those where the sum of its parts are not greater than or whatever.
It's too bad. It makes me feel bad for the dude from Shark Island because who knows what could have been. But, you know, it's not a bad album.
It's a good rock and roll album.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's, you know, it fit in with the times. It was slickly produced and, you know, had good covers on it. But that song, you know, it's a cliched song, but that's what rock and roll was about at the time.
Yeah, it's words to live by, right?
Yeah.
So I guess we're in the final stretch here. We've only got one more song left to go. We've had fun today picking out some great super groups. And, you know, we say it all the time when we do these special episodes where we just kind of pick a subject and have some fun and play some tunes that we could revisit this again and again and again, I think.
Oh, because we're going to get plenty of comments of why the fuck didn't you play so-and-so and so-and-so?
Hey, you know what?
Let us know who you think.
We welcome that. And you know where we welcome it? We welcome it on the Facebook page. So if you haven't liked Decibel Geek Facebook page, you know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You know, it strikes me as funny that, like, we were trying to climb to 2000, you know, and it seemed like it took forever just to get over that hump, you know, and it's that moment of when you realize you're really close, but you're not quite there yet, and it's almost there, and it's like every day there's like one or two more likes, you know, and it's like, oh man, we're so close. And then all of a sudden it's like 2000, and it's like, bam, 39 more.
Yeah.
You know, that's fantastic. I love that.
Quite a little spike.
That's where the conversation's happening at. You know, you want to get in and talk to us. You want to talk to our writers. You want to get in on things. That's the place to do it. Become a part of the community. That's where it's at. Facebook.com/DecibelGeek. Of course, as always, you go to DecibelGeek.com. That's where you're going to find our Amazon banner. You click on that. That's going to take you to Amazon. All your sweet deals on rock and roll albums and anything else you want to buy is right there. And you're going to help us out by going through the link. Make sure you do that while you're at decibelgeek.com. Hell, get yourself a t-shirt. There's t-shirts for sale. You want people to think you're cool? You wear a Decibel Geek t-shirt, there's no doubt you are cool. Plus, you got all those awesome articles written by our amazing writers from all over the freaking planet, including Canada.
Also, while we're on the air,
okay,
on the internet,
we're on the internet.
We are looking for new writers. We have a great staff, but we're wanting to bring more people on with the new website so we can have more material.
Right, and that's the thing, because we do have people planted all over the whole entire planet. And, you know, if you're wherever you are and you aspire to be a writer, you know, maybe you got a day job, but in your heart, you're a rock and roll journalist.
It's a lot of fun.
Where better to release your artistic integrity in rock and roll through a kick-ass article than DecibelGeek.com. We implore you to join our team. If you love rock and roll and you love to write about it, you want to report about it, you want to, you know, a good way to sneak yourself backstage and interview your favorite rock stars, this is the way to do it. You just get a hold of us at the website. You can be a Decibel Geek writer.
There are privileges to being a member of the team.
Totally.
So if you want to be a writer, just email us at feedback@decibelgeek.com, and one of us will get back in touch with you and we'll get you on board.
We would love it. You know, the more the merrier. That's what it's all about. You
Absolutely.
Know, some people got time to write a whole bunch of articles. Some people got time to write one every once in a while. So the more the merrier. We'd love to have you on board. Yep. So if that's your aspiration and that's something you're into, let us know. That's the way to do it.
Absolutely.
Anything else?
I think we're good.
Okay, well, let's rock and roll on out of here. We're talking about super groups today, and this is one. You know, this was kind of funny. I thought about it when we were putting together this list, but, you know, if you're talking about, like, sheer numbers of members of the group, you have to talk about 2008 Guns N' Roses. Because, you know, even if you think about Guns N' Roses before that, you talk about the original members. That was even kind of a super group because those guys all came from something.
They did?
Well, yeah. I mean, they were all in bands before Guns N' Roses. I'm sure that stuff was all very viable in L.A.
Did you know Slash tried out for Poison?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally knew that. Yeah. It wouldn't have been as good a fit as CC DeVille. That would have been strange. It might have been cool, but it would have been strange.
But yeah, 2000s Guns N' Roses had quite a few members.
Well, I mean, of course you got W. Axl Rose. Well, he don't call himself anymore that, you know, that I mean, whatever happened to the W?
W is kind of a four-letter word now after a certain president we had.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, of course, you got him on lead vocals. You know, he basically, he does all the singing. He does some keyboards on there. He's the composer. He plays a little guitar. He writes all the songs and spends countless days and hours in front of the Pro Tools to make this happen. I mean, on guitar, you got guys like Bumblefoot. You know, everybody knows that guy. Richard Fortus from one of my favorite bands, Honky Toast.
And now the Dead Daisies.
Yeah, that's right.
But
that's
now with John Corabi.
Great bands, man.
Crazy.
And Richard Fortus among this list. I mean, you got guys like Buckethead and Paul Tobias and Robert Fink. And those are just the guitar players.
These are all people that have been through the GNR camp.
Those guys are all super in their own right. On bass, you got Tommy Stinson, you know.
From The Replacements.
Yeah, that guy's been around Chris
Pittman.
That was a
left turn. Yeah.
Yeah,
I never thought I'd remember The Replacements would be playing with GNR.
No, but, you know, that guy really is fantastic.
Oh, he's a great musician.
Really fantastic. On drums, you got Frank Ferrer and Josh Fries. You know, Josh Fries has done a bunch of stuff. Keyboards, hey, you got Dizzy Reed.
Dizzy Reed from the Dead Daisies also.
He's the only other one from the original Guns N' Roses. And then, of course, you got, like, the orchestras and the symphonies and the brass sections and the choirs and the harpists and the French horners and all that good stuff. I mean, fuck, the list of engineers, masters, mixers, and engineering assistants and
therapists,
pro tools and therapists. I mean, it reads like a fucking movie credit. The list is a mile long. You know, but the thing is with this, Chinese democracy gets a lot of shit. You know,
yes, it does.
People do talk a lot of shit about it. But, I mean, it went to number 3 on the U.S. Billboard album charts. It was certified platinum. It sold over 1 million in Europe. Europeans were buying it. I mean, apparently I thought, you know, hey, nobody's really gave this album a chance. So, and it is a super group. Even, you know, you talk about all those great musicians that played on it and the sheer massive number of people that were involved in the making of this and the moments, minutes, hours, days in front of the Pro Tools for Axl Rose. Could it ever possibly live up to the expectation after all that time? No matter what he did, could it have lived up?
No, it would have had to sell 20 million copies.
And here I thought I was doing something special because I thought I was the only one that bought it. But it turns out you guys have all heard this before. So, you know, to round out the show today with supergroups, we're going to go Guns N' Roses. You guys have all heard this one apparently before. So it's a great album. I like it. You know, for what it is, it's not Appetite for Destruction. Hell, it's not even Use Your Illusion. But it is, to me, the Axl Rose Band.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it. So to round out today on the Decibel Geek Podcast Supergroups, it's super all right. It's Axl Rose and the Guns N' Roses with IRS.
See ya. What I mean the first time I've been wrong.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.